We're up to the last parsha in the Torah. Parshat Vezot HaBracha. On Simchat Torah, Bezrat Shem, we're going to read the last parsha, Parshat Vezot HaBracha. And the Torah ends with Moshe Rabbeinu's blessing to the Jewish people. Now, I have 11 pages worth of notes for tonight. Ordinarily, I have 3, 4. We have a lot to discuss in tonight's parsha. We'll see how far we get tonight. As usual, we'll begin with a quick overview of the parsha, and then we'll try to get more depth. Of course, being that we're reading blessings, and it's somewhat like poetry, somewhat like songs, so there's a lot of depth on the surface. There's difficulty understanding what's being said. So we'll try to get as much as we can. The Torah basically enumerates in our parsha the blessings that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to the different tribes. Every tribe got blessed other than the tribe of Shimon. And after enumerating the blessings, Moshe Rabbeinu praises the Jewish people as a whole. Praised are you, the Jewish people. Ashrecha Yisrael, mi chamocha, who is like you, just as the Jewish people began their journey as God's chosen nation by recognizing mi chamocha ba'elim Hashem, who is like you, among all the potent beings in the world, God. So too, Moshe Rabbeinu is ending his journey by praising the Jewish people. Ashrecha Yisrael, mi chamocha, who's like you, the Jewish people. Am nosha b'Hashem, a nation whose salvation is at the hands of God. Magen Nizrecha, he's the one that shields you, he's the one that helps you. V'ashecherev gavatecha, and the sword is your pride. We're going to have to discuss that. What does that mean? The sword is the pride of the Jewish people? It's not what we'd expect. Moshe Rabbeinu ascends the mountain of Nebo in the portion of Reuven, and God allows him to see throughout the land of Israel. And Moshe Rabbeinu is told, this is the land that I've promised, God tells him, to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I've shown it to you, and you're not crossing over. These are the final words God is going to tell Moshe. You're not crossing over. You're not, that's how you end, you know. There are parents that have a rule. They don't begin the day with yelling and they don't end the day with yelling. There are certain parents, I think it's a good idea that they try, any discipline is done in the middle of the day. But not just before a kid goes to school, not just before a kid goes to bed. You don't end off with something harsh. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu, the last words we see in the Torah is God telling him, V'shama lo tavo, you're not crossing over. And we have the last 8 psukim in the Torah, which we'll also discuss, that Moshe Rabbeinu passes away. And he is buried opposite the idol of Peor, which also needs defining. That's how we define where Moshe is buried, opposite an idol. Yeah, and no one knows where he's buried.
His burial place needed to rectify the Avera of Baal Peor.
Okay.
And to take away the bad gzeir of, as well as magic of the idolatry.
Okay.
Because he went with magic and the idol worshiping stuff and idolatry.
I hear. And the Torah ends by again describing to us how exceptional Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is. That Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the prophet that no prophet arose like him. And we're going to have to discuss what was so exceptional about Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy. So the Torah seems to end with a description of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy and how exceptional it was. As though, you know, you end the book, it tells who the author was. So here the Torah ends by telling us Moshe Rabbeinu was the most exceptional prophet that ever was. Okay, on a simple level we can understand that, but we'll have to try to find more depth. So now let's begin the parsha, and we'll begin with a beautiful story. There was once a king who had a servant who he liked very much, and he told the servant, tell me, what do you want? What can I give you? You're my faithful servant. I want to give you a gift. You tell me you want. I should make everyone bow to you. You want. I should give you, every time you come before me, I'll give you 10 gold coins. Tell me, what do you want? And the servant says, what? Sack, right. Servant says, I want that whenever I come to you, as many sacks as I bring, you fill them with material. And everyone laughed. This is what he wants. The servant says, throughout my life, that's what I want. Every time I come, as many sacks as I bring, you fill it with material. And the king says, no problem. Done. That's the decree. First day, the servant appears with 2 sacks. They fill him with material. He goes back home, sews them up. The next day, he shows up with 8 sacks. The next day, he shows up with 32 sacks. The next day, he shows up with 140 sacks. 120 sacks. The next day he shows up with 480. The next day he shows up already with 1,600. We haven't even finished week one, and he's already holding by 5,000 sacks. By the end of the week, he's holding by 2,000 sacks. And the next day he has 8,000 sacks. And the next day he has 320,000 sacks. And the next day he has 1,200,000 sacks. And the next day he has 4 million sacks. By the end of the second week, he's holding by over 1,000,000 sacks. And it's easy to understand that within a month, he emptied out the king of all his wealth. What was the brilliance of this servant? That he was able to take the blessing, the gift that he got one day, and make it a receptacle for getting more blessing the next day. Every one of us has limited capacity. There's a limit to how much blessing we can get. When Yaakov Avinu gets blessed by his father tells him, V'yiten lecha ha'elokim, God should give and continue giving. Why not give it all at once? Because we have limited capacity. We cannot accept all the blessing at once. So that when Yitzchak calls his son to bless him, he blesses him as an individual. There's a limit to how much blessing he could give Yaakov, an individual. And he ends his blessing with Vayikra Yitzchak. Yitzchak called his son. Now, how much blessing could he give one person? You could bless him with a lot, but there's a limit. Yaakov, when he's blessing his children, he already has 12 tribes. He could continue where his father left off. So Yaakov begins where his father left off. Vayikra Yaakov. Yaakov's blessings begin with the words Yitzchak ended his blessings, with calling his children in to continue the blessings where his father left off. He ends his blessings with Vizot Asher Dibel Lehem Avihim. This is what their father blessed them. He could only bless a certain amount because he has only 12 tribes. Moshe Rabbeinu picks up where Yaakov left off with Vizot, and this is the blessing that Moshe gave, because Moshe Rabbeinu has the nation of Israel standing before him. Now he can bless a nation. A nation can have much more blessing than 12 tribes. Moshe Rabbeinu ends off his blessing in our parsha, Ashrecha Yisrael, praised are you, O Israel. And where Moshe Rabbeinu leaves off is where David HaMelech begins, Ashrei Ha'ish, for David HaMelech sees the people have evolved into a kingdom. And as a kingdom, they can have more blessing than they had as a people wandering through the desert. Moshe Rabbeinu begins, V'zot HaBiracha. Moshe Rabbeinu is on the last day of his life. It is Zayin Adar. And Moshe Rabbeinu does a tremendous amount of things on this day. He writes 13 Sifrei Torah, which is humanly impossible. He gives the blessings. He gives long speeches. And near Moshe Rabbeinu's death, he composes the verses in Tehillim, Tefillah leMoshe Ish HaElokim. And if we look at that prayer in Tehillim, which we quote every Shabbos, we use it as our Shabbos prayer, we will see that there's a reference to each and every tribe. There are 11 references to the 11 tribes. Just as he will bless the 11 tribes here, so too in his prayer that is part of Tehillim, he prays for the 11 tribes in Tefillah leMoshe. And that's why our parsha begins, V'zot HaBiracha Asher Birach Moshe Lifnei Moto, just prior to his death. Moshe Rabbeinu was about to bless the Jewish people. Throughout his life, he wanted to bless them, and the Malacham Avos always stood in his way. And now God has told him, it's time to die. And when God says that, the angel of death is rejoicing. He comes down and he says, Moshe, your time has come. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, not by you. And he says one of God's hidden names, and he binds the Malacham Avos. And now he has the Malacham Avos held under him. And now that the Malacham Avos is under his grasp, Lifnei Moto, he's standing before death. He's standing there facing death in the face. He sees the angel of death, and now he says, now I can bless. Now I have you under my hold, and now I can bless the Jewish people. So Moshe Rabbeinu begins his blessing when he is Lifnei Moto, he's standing just before death. When a person is just before death, God blesses a person when he's a tzaddik, that he has extra clarity, that he has extra holiness. And that's why just before tzaddikim's death, They give over blessings, and they give over insights as to what's going to come. The Jewish people are going to ask Moshe in our parsha, tell us what's going to be in the world to come. Tell us when the Mashiach is going to come. Reveal to us a little bit about the future. Just like Yaakov, when he's on his deathbed, his children ask him, tell us about the future. So too Moshe is now on his last day, and the Jews say, now tell us what's going to be. And Moshe can only bless them because he has reached this point, the pinnacle, the apex. He's reached the high point of his career the day before he dies. Many people reach their highs somewhere in their career, and at the end of their career, they're not at the high. The Rambam writes that no prophet prophesies to the day of his death other than Moshe Rabbeinu. Every prophet hit a low. He went down. He wasn't at his height on the day of his death. No prophet reached his last day like Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no other prophet that on his last day could stand there and prophesy. That's one of the things Moshe Rabbeinu was exceptional. Moshe Rabbeinu on his last day was at his highest point. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to bless them. Notice that the words Moshe Ish Elokim is how he begins his blessing. It is also how he begins his prayer. Tefillah leMoshe Ish Elokim. What does Ish Elokim mean? So one understanding is Ish means owner of. So to speak, Moshe Rabbeinu was Tzadik Gozer V'Hashem Mekayem. If Moshe Rabbeinu decrees, God says, whatever he says, I do. Another understanding is that Moshe Rabbeinu played dual roles in this world. Sometimes he was Ish, sometimes he was Elohim. In the beginning of his career, Paro wants to kill him. He's an Ish. He runs to Midian. He can't stand up against Paro. A while later, he comes back and he's standing against Paro. God sent him, and I could stand and look Paro in the eye and say, send out the Jewish people. Only a short while ago, when Paro was threatening his own life, he had to run. And now he could stand and make demands of Paro. Yeah, there are times when he's an Ish, and there's a time when he's Elohim. Our sages taught us that a wise person knows to gauge the times. Kol hanidche mipnei ha'sha'a sofo lidchotah. Whoever says, if now isn't a good time, I'll run, I won't push my luck, then ultimately he'll conquer time. Whoever says, no, I want it now, I'm going to overcome the time. The fact that the odds seem to be against me, that doesn't bother me. The fact that it doesn't seem like the time is ripe, that doesn't interest me. I can do it. If a person decides he's going to be stubborn, and even though the time doesn't seem ripe, he's going to stand against the time wins him over. Moshe Rabbeinu saw there's a time he's got to run. Paro wants to come, and no one's told him he's going to make it out alive. So he runs to Midian. Then Hashem tells him, go take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes, and then he could stand up to Paro. So at times in his life, Moshe Rabbeinu was Ish, and at times in his life, he was Elohim. He was God-like, he was angel-like. He was Moshe, the leader of the Jewish people, the representative of God on this earth. This parsha is going to be Moshe's last speech. And Moshe is going to end with words of consolation, of comfort to the Jewish people. And from him, all the prophets learned that they ended their words with words of comfort. Moshe Rabbeinu's blessing is greater than all the blessings of his predecessors. When God created the world, God blessed Adam. And then God blessed Noah. And then God told Avram, it's not right that I should interfere in this world and give the blessings. I am giving you and your offsprings the power of giving blessings. And from that time on, Avram and his offsprings, Yitzchak and Yaakov, they had the power to bless. And each one that blessed, had trouble with his blessings. When Noah blessed his sons, one son got cursed. There was enmity. When Yitzchak blessed Yaakov, Esav wanted to kill Yaakov for the blessing. There was enmity. When Yaakov blessed his 12 sons, so he rebuked Reuven. He rebuked Shimon. He rebuked Levi. People weren't so happy with his blessings. Yehuda was about to walk out until Yaakov called him and said, Yehuda, don't walk out. Wait a second. You, I got good words for. Moshe Rabbeinu came along and gave blessings. And when he gave blessings, so everyone was blessed. Everyone was happy. And we're going to have to discuss how does this work with the fact that Shimon wasn't blessed. But so we're going to see. We're going to see that Shimon's blessing was hidden within the blessings of Yehuda, and we'll discuss why later. So Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to bless the Jewish people, and his blessing is the greatest blessing in Jewish history.
Which one?
The blessing that Moshe is going to give the Jewish people now. This happens to be the fourth blessing that Moshe is blessing the Jewish people. He blessed the Jewish people, Hashem Lokei Avosechem Yosef Aleichem. He blessed them that God should multiply them. He blessed them when they built the Mishkan. He blessed them when they had the first day that the Mishkan was erect. And now this is the fourth blessing that he's blessing them. Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to bless them, and he's going to discuss their elevated stature. He's going to mention that God chose them to give them the Torah, that the Torah was written on fire, that they're nation that's elevated among nations, that they're a nation that's called Yeshurun, that God is present among the Jewish people, and that God gives them extra hashgacha, that's also alluded to by the word Yeshurun, and that God established a king within the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to bless the Jewish people. And when Moshe is blessing them, Moshe is doing kiruv. He's bringing them close. Chazal say, v'zota berecha, don't read it berecha, ela berecha. Berecha could mean the blessing. Berecha could be like berecha, like pool. Just like when you put a person into a mikveh, into a pool of water, so a person that's tamei becomes taho. So too, when Moshe came to bless the Jewish people, he was able to bring the Jewish people close. By blessing them, by bringing them close and telling them how wonderful they are and how good things would be, that's how he did kiruv. And here we see an important concept. You want to do kiruv, you can't come to a person and start yelling at him. You know how many bad things are going to happen to you? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did the previous parashios. And the Jewish people were distant from Moshe. After Moshe told them all the rebuke, they were scared. They had taken a step back. But now, Moshe Rabbeinu wants to bring them close. It's his last day. He wants to leave them on a good note. So he blesses them. And that's how you bring a person close. Moshe Rabbeinu merited to attain the level of Ish HaElokim only because he was Et B'nei Yisrael, together with the Jewish people. And this is a rule. Our sages always taught us that a leader can only attain heights if the nation deserves it. Chazal say that there are correlations between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yaakov Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a shepherd. Yaakov Avinu was a shepherd. Moshe Rabbeinu... Just one second. What? Moshe Rabbeinu was called... Just a second. Okay. I don't remember where I wrote it. Okay, I can't find it now. Moshe Rabbeinu begins the blessing by saying, by reminding the Jewish people how Hashem appeared at Mount Sinai. And Moshe Rabbeinu describes it that Hashem appeared from many different nations, and from these words we derive that Hashem offered each nation the Torah before he offered it to the Jewish people. Hashem sent some kind of prophet to each nation and offered them the Torah. And each nation asked what's written in it. And each nation was told a different mitzvah, which they felt wasn't for them. Esav was told, it says you can't murder. They said, but our blessing is that we'll live by the sword. We can't last without being able to kill. Ammon and Moab were told... adulterous relationships are prohibited. They said, but that's our whole history. We come from Lot marrying his daughters. That's part of our nature. Yishmael said, what's written in the Torah? Hashem told him, says you can't steal. But they said, but that's what the Malach said, that we're going to be thieves. Yadovakol, right. So the question is asked, why were all these nations told a mitzvah that's so difficult and the Jewish people weren't told anything? And the answer is because they asked the question, what's written in it? And when God comes and says, I have a Torah to give, the correct answer is what the Jewish people said. Well, tell us what you have to say, and we'll do whatever you say. What difference does it make whether it makes sense to me or not? If God's telling me that's what I have to do, that's what I have to do. The mere fact that a person is questioning, well, tell me what's in it, means that a person is saying, I'm going to see whether it makes sense to me or not, which is a natural approach. But part of the belief we have in the Torah is that we have to do it whether it makes sense or not. If it's God's word, and we know it is, so then we have to do it whether it makes sense to us or not. And when these nations came forward and asked, well, tell us what's written in it, they were intrinsically saying, we're going to do it only if it makes sense to us. So Hashem said, okay, then I'll tell you the mitzvah that goes exactly against your grain, that goes exactly against the way you're living now. But the Jewish people, when God came, they said, Naseh v'nishma, you tell us what we have to do. We'll do it afterwards. We'd like to understand, but whatever you say, we're going to do. Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to bless the Jewish people. And sometimes, when we look at a person like Moshe, a person who spent his life learning Torah and teaching Torah, we could think, well, you know, there are people who are building homes for the homeless. There are people who did greater things. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's filled with Torah, fine. But there were people who were greater than him. And Chazal say that that's not so. It is incorrect to think that there was anyone who was greater than Moshe. If Noach would come to say to Moshe, I'm greater than you. God destroyed the world and I stayed alive. Then Moshe would say to Noach, well, you only saved yourself and your family. I saved the whole Jewish people. If Yitzchak would come to Moshe and would say, you know, I stretched my neck over the Mizbeach, I was able to see God. Moshe would tell him, well, you became blind. I was able to go up to Malachim, and I, to the last day, God revealed himself to me and I was able to remain with my eyesight. If Yaakov would say, I defeated an angel, so Moshe would say, you defeated an angel on your territory on earth. I went up to heavens and I won the fight. What's the idea here? The idea is that sometimes we look at a person who's learning Torah and we think, well, what's he doing for the world? He's learning Torah. Yaakov, he fought an angel. Yitzchak, he was willing to sacrifice himself. Noach, he saved the world. And we have to recognize that the blessings of the world are much greater from a person that learns Torah. A person that learns Torah has potential, like Moshe Rabbeinu, to do more than all the people who preceded him. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Ish Elokim. There are 10 people who are called Ish Elokim in Tanakh. Moshe Rabbeinu begins by telling them, God appeared to us from all the different nations. And when God came to give the Torah to the Jewish people, there were thunders, there was all kind of noise in the world, and the nations thought the world was going to be destroyed. So they came to their prophet, they came to Bilam, and they said, what's going on? Is God bringing another flood? And Bilam said, no. God promised he's not bringing a flood. God is giving the Torah to the Jewish people now. And when the nations heard this, the nations all blessed the Jewish people. The nations, they didn't want the Torah. They told God it's not for us. But not only that, they said, we're not keeping the seven Noahide laws either. That's too much for us. They basically weren't keeping them. They said, this is too tough for us. And when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, in essence, Hashem not only gave them the Torah, but God also took away the seven Noahide laws from the Noahides. Not that they aren't responsible for them, but that even if they'll perform them now, God says, you all rejected them, and from now on, you're responsible to perform them, but I'm no longer giving you that gift of sachar. We know Hashem doesn't owe us anything for performing the mitzvot. That's a gift God gives us. Really, God says, this is what you have to do. I created you. You're responsible. You're my subject. Just like I tell a person you have to stop at a traffic light. He doesn't say, well, what reward am I going to get? We tell him, you don't stop at a traffic light. You get punished. You don't get a reward for stopping. By the same token, we're responsible to keep Hashem's commandments, and it's a gift that Hashem gives us sachar. Hashem said to the nations, now that you've all rejected the seven Noahide laws, you're still responsible to keep them, but sachar you won't get. That's one of the things that happened when we got the Torah.